We again go to the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter, and I'll read verses 10 through 14 again for your consideration. Supporting scripture this morning coming from Paul's writing to the Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 3. In Luke 14, beginning at verse 10 that you've already heard in your hearing this morning, the Bible reads, "But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, and when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for they shall be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." Paul's writing to the Romans, chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Yeah. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Mm-hmm. Verse 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." The basis of our thinking coming from the 12th verse of the 14th chapter. "Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again and a recompense be made thee. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." On the basis of those verses, this morning we like to use a thought or subject. Actually, it's sort of a double subject this morning. First of all, we got guess who's coming to dinner. Amen. Subtopic, the least expected. Amen. Guess who's coming to dinner. All right. The least expected. Amen. We thank God for our men this morning. Amen. Lifting up the name of Jesus and song. We got to trust God this morning. Know that with him, everything is possible. God is able this morning to do what nobody else can do. So we thank God for this another day's journey. And we say to you this morning, let us be mindful that it is a blessing this morning just to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Reminded of the word of God that tells us that in all things, give thanks. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And it's by his grace this morning that we've been gathered here once again to praise and worship God in spirit and in truth. As we come this morning, we come to share the love of Jesus. We consider all of the sickness and all of the disease in the land and the growing numbers of those living in poverty, not to mention all of those that are homeless this morning, rejected or forgotten. So let us be thankful that things are no worse than they are. We always ought to have a mind and to know that regardless to how bad it is for us, it is always worse for someone else. We feel the love of Jesus this morning and feel the overwhelming power of his Holy Spirit. We know that that Spirit will comfort and keep us in times such as this. Those times when you really just don't know what to do. God is always there, and the good thing is knowing that he holds us in the palms of his hand. We began to think that he comforts us when we just don't know how to sort of bring things together. And when God comforts us and brings us peace of mind, we got to understand that the Lord is worthy of all of our praises. We ought to be in a place where when we come together and the Spirit of Christ is there and we feel the love of Jesus, we ought to be somewhat like the apostles when they said, "It is good for us to be here." I can honestly say that I am exactly where I want to be this morning. I'm doing what I believe God would have me to do. So I thank God to be in the house of God this morning. Not only in the house, but I thank God for being in this house. Because there is something about the Spirit of Christ in the Fowles Chapel Baptist Church that is a good thing. And the thing is that these bricks and this mortar can't do anything. The bricks can't praise God. That pew you're sitting on can't praise God. It definitely can't get up because you own it. So we got to understand that we are the ones that must praise and worship the Lord our God. As we praise and worship him, every one of us got a testimony. And your testimony may go one way. Your neighbor's testimony may go another way. But at the end of the day, it is this one God that have blessed us or delivered us or healed us or brought things back together. So whatever it is that we feel like we are blessed by, it is only by the power of a loving God. We got to understand that we must take time out to not only thank God for all that he has done, but there ought to be a time in our lives, especially when we get to this time of year, that we begin to thank God for all of our brothers and sisters that bled, suffered, and died, paving the way for us that we would have the liberties to come into this household of faith. To make a way that we as a people would have a right to just know that we are free to live our lives as God has given us. A lot of times we listen and we talk about history, but it doesn't affect us because we wasn't there. But when you really begin to think about the times of old, when you think about the struggling and the suffering that our ancestors went through, it ought to make you more of a proud person to try to be better than you are. You, no matter what you're going through, what you've gone through, or where you might be in life, God is still a mighty good God. And then when you think about the fact that people died so that you could have some rights, so that you wouldn't be treated unfairly, then you ought to take advantage of the things that God has made possible for us. Too many times we are still sitting back blaming somebody else because we are too lazy to get up off the stool of do nothing and open up the door of opportunity and walk in there knowing that if I trust the power of a loving God, leaning not to my own understanding, but leaning to the understanding of God, he will lead and direct my very path. So if you are not where you want to be, it's because you are not putting forth the effort. Now, there are some that are putting forth the effort that every time you seemingly are getting a little bit closer, something knocks it out of your way. And to that individual, I tell you, don't give up. Be encouraged to keep on keeping on and know that your day is going to come. Do know that there's a season for all folk. And it might not be your season right now, but don't give up in despair. Know that God is still listening to your humble cry, and God will do just what needs to be done in your life. Every one of us in here, if we would be honest, we could all say together, look where he brought me from. And when you begin to look where God has brought you from, it ought to give you a mind of appreciation. You ought to appreciate what God has done. When you think about how little the ancestors had and how much you got right now, it ought to give you a joy down on the inside that I'm going to praise God with everything I got. Anybody in here glad that God made things better for our lives? I know this morning that as we continue the celebration of the life of one of the greatest men that God have ever created in the person of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a man that took a nonviolent approach to all the injustice he endured as he dreamed of a day of equality. Right. Our children are even being taught the importance of that I have a dream speech. So even though they killed the man, the dream still lives on. And the reality is the dream has to live through us. Right. As much trouble as President Obama has received, the change that he brought to America will never be forgotten. All right. For as long, long, long after we are dead and gone, all races of people will remember and talk about a man named President Barack Obama. One that lived a dream that I'm sure at many times has felt more like a nightmare than a dream. But yet this man of God, this man stands tall and strong and continues to sustain to do whatever he can for the people of God. And we realize that we are in a nation where we're supposed to be free. We're in a place that's supposed to be full of opportunities. So what we got to do is take hold of those opportunities and apply ourselves to the things that we want to do to better our lives. We got to stop saying that it's because of they say and what somebody else said, and you got to do what the Lord would have you to do. We thank God for Dr. King, and I love everything that he's done. And the only thing that I can say this morning is let us do our part to keep the dream alive. Walking in integrity and fairness and not having respect of persons, remembering the golden rule that we talked about on last week, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Loving one another as Jesus has loved us. A love that has no respect of persons. Just last week we talked about what goes around comes around. And Paul said in Galatians 6:3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So what Paul is saying is over-evaluation of oneself is also self-deception. Then our supporting text this morning tells us, and we look here as Paul writes to the Romans. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what Paul is talking about is Christian life and service done to the glory of God. So what he is saying is by the mercies of God, God has been merciful. So because of his mercy, because of his blessings upon us, we must present our bodies as living sacrifices. Don't wait until you are almost dead before you say, Lord, here I am. That there are a lot of times that we can do a whole lot more if we would just open up our mouths or get up and make that step toward forward and know that we must continue this journey. Now, the Bible says, he said, be not conformed to this world. So don't get so caught up in the world that you forget where you're trying to go. If you love this world so much, then I don't even know why you're here, because what we are trying to learn is a better way of life so that we will have eternal life. Is there anybody in here seeking eternal life? Or are you just here just to say that I came to church on the third Sunday? So you got to do more than just come to church. You got to do more than just be in here. The Bible says don't just be a hearer of God's word, but it is a blessing when you are a doer also of the word. So when you hear the word of God, you need to do what God is saying. Do something. He is saying be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if you're going to renew something, you got to think a little bit different. You got to go about things in a different manner. You can't continue to walk around with the same old sad story. That some of us got the same sad story that we've been had for 15, 20 years. It seemed like you ought to be done got a little bit better by now. If the Lord hadn't done anything for you in 15 years, I don't understand why you even tried. I believe that we serve a God that is able to do anything that we ask him to do. And when God has done something for you, you ought to be able to have a mind to tell God thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. The problem is that we think too much of ourselves. If I don't sing, the choir not going to sound good. If I don't preach, the message is not going to get across. I thank God I got sense enough to know that I'm not the only preacher that God called. I'm not the only preacher that God chose. I'm not the only one that can get up and declare the good news. You got to understand that even though you might not carry the label of minister or reverend or whomever you might be, you ought to still be a witness of the goodness of God. Anybody in here got any good news? Do anybody really know the good news? The good news is not that you're going to get an income tax check. The fact that God is God and he is God alone. The good news is that Jesus died for your sin and there is life after death.
The good news is that even though your body might be in pain right now, there is a better day coming. Anybody looking for that better day? Anybody trusting God for that better day? Paul said, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. None of us any better than anybody else. We got to understand that what Paul is talking about, he's not talking about saving faith. He's talking about working for God faith. See, there's a difference. A whole lot of us, all we want when we talk about faith, we just want to believe that God going to give me what I want. Not talking to anybody in here. We say we walk by faith. But the faith that we have, we got to understand that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So now, if your faith is on the mere fact that you need another dollar, you done seen some dollars. That's right, D. Something about them dollars, they just won't stay with you. But how many of you know that Lord would never leave you? How many of you know when you don't have a $20 bill in your pocket, you can still call on the name of Jesus? How many of you know that if you don't even have money to go to the doctor, there's a doctor that will come to your sick room and won't charge you any extra charge? He'd be right there early in the morning, late in the midnight hour, and every time you moan and groan, he would just rub you and let you know that everything's going to be all right. Now, got anybody ever been laid down on the bed? Didn't know how you were going to make it. Didn't know if you were going to get back up. But the power of the mighty God reached down and touched your feeble body and reminded you that I am God and I am a doctor. I heal it all of thine disease. I don't care what the doctor said. I want to hear from Dr. Jesus. I don't know about you, but I feel mighty good right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Sometimes I just don't know what to do. Glory, glory. The Bible said, whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You see, humility is the passport to promotion in the kingdom of God. When you think it's all about you, when you think that nobody's going to shout unless you sing, don't you know it's not all about you? If you got a half decent voice, it's still not your gift, but it's a gift that came from God. And I found out that you can have all the gifts that you want, but if you don't have the gift of the anointing is what they tell me that makes the difference. That's why some folk don't understand why you can take a little old country boy that didn't have very much in life, that was born out of wedlock, but God reached down and touched his body and made a difference in his very life. And somebody said, I don't believe this and I don't believe that. But the God that I serve, he began to work down on the inside. And he let me know that you are somebody. And I want you to do my will. I want you to preach in season and out of season. Preach when they want to hear and when they don't want to hear. So I stop by to tell somebody that there's going to be a great feast going on. And you all got an invitation to come. You better bring an appetite, because there's going to be a whole lot on the table. And I don't know about you, but I'm not worried about my blood pressure. I'm not worried about my arthritis. I'm not worried about what the doctor said. But I'm going to sit at the welcome table. I'm going to eat my milk and honey. I'm going to praise him while I have a chance. Anybody want to come to dinner? I want to let you know that there's an open invitation where the Lord said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Anybody tired of going through all your trials and tribulations? But I want to let you know, be of good cheer. Everything is going to be all right. Now, let me give you this parable. The Bible says that Jesus gave a parable. That there was a man having a dinner. And he said that I'm going to bid them to come to my dinner. He used the term of a wedding feast. Because he knew that at a wedding everybody want to come. But don't you know there's some folk that think that they're so important that they want to get there early and just get whatever seat that they want. But you better learn how to stay humble. Stay in your place. You better learn if you don't want to be embarrassed. Don't go jumping up in the high seat. See, a whole lot of folk think that they're so important that you should have put me right there at the head table. But I want to let you know that every now and again, don't worry about being at the head table. Because the same food they eat for the head table, you're going to get it at the other table. The only thing the head table do is just get it first. But I'm not worried about who come first. Because the Bible says that those that be first might be last. And those that last might be first. So you got to learn how to humble yourself. I stopped by to tell somebody that there's going to be a dinner going on. And I want to give you an invitation. I want to let you know that you can come on in. Come on in and grab you a seat. But the Bible said, Jesus, sitting there in the Pharisee's house, looking at the folk, saying, well, I watch y'all. And as you walk around from one spot to another, see, I was disturbed this morning because I couldn't figure out why Tommy Lee was sitting way at the back of the church. But just before I sent somebody, I looked and seen a son step out, and then it came to me, oh, they going somewhere. See, you got to learn how to watch the folk. And when somebody walking out of order or somebody somewhere that they ought not be, don't be afraid to tell them to get back in order. See, I was getting ready to let Tommy Lee know, you too far in the back. I can't have your way back there. Unless you got a problem, you need to be close to the restroom. You better come on up higher. You see, that's the thing. When you take the back seat and know that you want to be on the front seat, the man in charge or the woman in charge might say, you come on up. That seat is not for you. I got a special seat for you. But now that one that thought so much of himself, that feel like I can sit where I want to sit. My cousin having that party, and I'm going to sit where I want to sit. Well, don't you know that the cousin didn't put you on the VIP list? You better learn how to stay in your place. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus said, they're walking around, folk coming in, taking the high seats. And the Bible says, he said that he bade them, come and say to thee, give this man your place, and you will walk away in shame. Don't you know it's an embarrassing thing to go somewhere and the room is full of folk? That's why until I find out where they want me to sit. See, I don't care whether I'm officiating or not. Sometimes you still might not have a seat if they hadn't took care of business right. Been there, done that. But I learned how to just stand there and wait till somebody let you know where you're supposed to sit. Now, think about it. You go somewhere and you just sit where you want to sit. If everything good, you just having a good time. And just when everything just get right, somebody come and usher you up. Say, you got to move. This seat belongs to somebody else. Now, how you gonna feel? But you got to go. They said, get up, it's not your seat. Because there's somebody else that has been reserved. This seat has been reserved for somebody else. So now, look at what the Bible says. Okay? The Bible says, for whosoever exalted himself shall be abased. But now, if you humble yourself, you'll be exalted. Then said he also to him that bade him. So now, first of all, this parable deals with the guest that was invited. The guest can't just assume that I got a special place. You got to take the low place and then find your place. But now Jesus turns on to the man that's having the function. He tells him, then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, don't call your friends. Don't call your brethren. Don't worry about your kinfolk. Don't worry about the rich neighbors. Because the thing in that is that when you invite them, you believe that they're going to have a function and they're going to invite you. Tick for tack. So there's no blessing in that. But now the Bible says that if you would just allow the man, the poor, the less fortunate to come into the dinner, then you'll be blessed. And not only will you be blessed right now, but you'll be blessed in the afterlife. See, too many of us want a pat on the back right now. You know, it'd be a good thing that I just get all close to Judy. And Judy invite me to dinner and she make me feel all special. But what can Judy do for me? Judy can't carry me to glory. Judy don't have heaven and hell in her hand. I got to stay in my place and wait for the direction that comes from the power of a mighty God. So guess who's coming to dinner? The least expected. The ones that you thought wasn't going to be there. Not the elite. Not the ones of high society. Not the ones that are on the board. Not all the preachers and the bishops. But there are going to be some lay folk. There are going to be some poor folk. There are going to be some folk that are maimed. There are going to be some folk that got problems in their life. There are going to be some folk that don't know how to put this, that, and together. But there are going to be some folk in the place that will open up and say, Lord, I thank you for allowing me to come to the dinner. But then if you read on through that chapter, there's another dinner being made. And everybody that was invited had an excuse why they could not come. See, that's what the brother Holman was talking about on Wednesday night at Bible study. He began to say, I was reading that. And every time when they say that they were going to come, they gave an excuse. What is your excuse this morning? Guess who's coming to dinner? Not all of us that think that we all that. Don't you know that none of us are better than anybody else? This parable, Jesus laid it out to teach them the importance of staying humble. When you get the big head and you got an ego problem and your head's so fat, can't nobody tell you nothing, you're just hurting yourself. You may tease some people off along the way. You may lose some of your friends and you may create new enemies. But you can't make it in this world all by yourself. What the Lord is saying is, don't disregard your friends and family. He wasn't talking about don't invite them. But he's saying the blessing is inviting those that can't pay you back. Just that simple. All this sweat just to say that simple statement. Stay humble. Treat everybody like somebody. And then know that there are going to be times when it's all said and done. If we get to glory, there are going to be some folk there that you didn't expect to see. And if you look around long enough, you're going to be looking for some folk that you thought were going to be there. And they ain't nowhere in that land. But the choice is yours. Will you be humble? It's all right to be poor, because the bottom line of this parable is that we got to recognize, entertain, and take care of the less fortunate. We use the excuses they brought it on themselves. Jesus is a merciful, compassionate, loving God. And if we're going to be Christians, we got to look at it through the eyes of Jesus. Guess who's coming to dinner?